A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 7th chapter. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from St. Paul's first letter to Pastor Timothy, the 2nd chapter. "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 1st chapter. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." O Lord, have mercy on us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." It's hard to fathom that God has human flesh and blood in the person of Jesus. It's hard to wrap your minds around that because it's not something made up. It's true. All the way back in Genesis, the promise of redemption would come from the seed of the woman. Her offspring would be how man is redeemed. And throughout the scriptures, this promise was made to the patriarchs and prophets, pointing them to the one who would be their brother in the flesh to save them. And in that passage from Isaiah, read a few minutes ago, God spoke through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And so that God, the Word, would become flesh to dwell with his people is absolutely mind-boggling. I mean, we say this and confess this all the time, but think about that for a second. God has no beginning and no end. God is the source of everything that exists. You are a creation of God. That this infinite and almighty God would assume human flesh and dwell with his people doesn't seem like something he would do. It seems so, well, below him to do this. And that's the thing, isn't it? It really is below him to do it. For God to dwell with his people is for God to be the God who doesn't just sit in the heavens looking down on man like ants to control and manipulate. No, the Lord dwells with his people to save them. This is what he has done in Christ, who is true man and true God. And so this week and the next week, we're going to be looking at those two natures of Jesus, his humanity tonight, next week his divinity, and then the third week at the noon service, looking at this union between these two, and then at our children's Christmas program, coming back to that Emmanuel, God with us. So tonight then, as we think about that God took on human flesh and blood and was born into this world, there are some peculiarities to this humanity of Jesus. And two ones that stand out to us as we consider this for this Advent service tonight was the first, that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The human nature of Christ came into existence through the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't receive his human nature from a father and mother, but the Virgin Mary alone. She is the woman from which Jesus came forth, and she is the virgin who bore God, Jesus, in her womb and gave birth to him. Now, another peculiarity or something special about the human nature of Jesus is that he is sinless. Hebrews 4 says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every way, in every respect, has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So Jesus shares our humanity, yet he is without sin. And so the virgin conception and birth of Jesus mattered and is connected to his sinlessness. The fact that Jesus was born of a virgin fulfills God's word, and he is free of sin. Our Lutheran confessions affirm a similar thing that the scriptures teach. So Jesus then shares and is our brother in the flesh, only without the sin that we have. So this means his whole life was free from sin and lived in perfect obedience to the will and law of God. He is eternally begotten of the Father before all worlds. Because he is born of the Virgin means that he can do what only he can do, namely save you. The conception and birth of Jesus from a virgin then was for you. It was part of his accomplishing your salvation for you and your behalf. This is why it's so important, even to this day. It absolutely does matter that he was born of the Virgin and is fully man. It's no wonder why this doctrine then is attacked, because if you take this out of the picture, then you've knocked the legs out of your salvation from underneath yourself. The devil knows this, and he attacks this doctrine and all true doctrines because they are connected to your justification in Christ. So even in the life of Jesus, in the scriptures, we're told men accused him of being illegitimate and not of good standing. Yet he was the one who is the very righteousness of God. Or as the Old Testament reading said this last week in our Advent verse, the Lord is our righteousness. That is his name. So looking toward Christmas and the birth of Jesus, you see, as John 1 says, that grace and truth of God are known in Christ, who is the Word made flesh. The Holy Trinity is the true God. And in the person of the Son, you see God himself. He is God with you, born of the Virgin Mary. So here in this baby is the one who would accomplish your salvation for you being obedient to the Father to the point of death, even death on the cross. What glory to behold him who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, dwelling among his people. Knowing Jesus is knowing the eternal triune God in his grace and knowing and having salvation itself. The faith required to believe the words of the prophet Isaiah and the words spoken by Gabriel to Mary are given to you by God. His word speaks this truth to you, and by the Holy Spirit you confess with the Virgin Mary when this was told to her, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. So all things in your life then are lived by this word of God, which is your lamp that shines in the darkness. Your Lord speaks, and you have what he has done. You see, you weren't conceived by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin, and you are stained with sin, but yet you are counted righteous before the Father on account of Jesus. So the seed of the woman is your Savior, who has atoned for your sin, and now you have peace with God through faith in him. His life is your life. His death is your death. His resurrection is your resurrection. And baptized into Christ, you have put on him and are an heir of everlasting life. Your sin is forgiven. It has been washed away and no longer counts against you. This is all because of the sinless one, the one born of the Virgin Mary, her son. The word of God gives this to you, and by the Holy Spirit you trust Christ as your Savior and are saved. Now the new creation that you have is one who has done such wonderful things. You are a new man who has been born above by the Holy Spirit, who conceived Jesus in the womb of Mary by the speaking of his word. And so you too have a miraculous birth. In Christ, you are baptized into Christ, which means you are a new creation, and what you have will last forever. Yours is the kingdom of God and living in the paradise that has been won for you. Martin Chemnitz, referencing Cyril of Alexandria, who spoke a lot on the two natures of Jesus, summarizes the importance of the humanity of Jesus as such. Chemnitz writes, "But we should give careful attention to the force of this argument, for it is certain that the Son of God assumed a human nature chiefly for two reasons. One, that he might redeem and free it from the wrath of God, from condemnation, and from eternal death. And two, that corrupted and depraved by sin as it is, he might refashion and restore it first in himself, and that then from himself as the head, there might come to us who are his members, cleansing, sanctification, and renewal." So you see, you need Jesus to be fully man and fully God. You need the Lord to be with you. You need Emmanuel, because left on your own and to your own devices, you will perish. You need God to dwell among you, for without him doing this, you are lost. The Lord coming down into the flesh means that he is your brother. It means that he faced what you have and will only, and only without sin. Our God, the true God, gets his hands dirty in order to save you. So things like suffering, temptation, they're not foreign things to God. But you have one who knows all too well what these things are. He faced the assaults of the devil and the fallen world head on and was faithful, even to the point of death. Your Lord Jesus hungered, he thirsted, he experienced pain. It's important that God became man because then he could die for you. And it's important that he is fully God because that means his death atones for your sin, and death can't hold him as he rose from the grave. And that's exactly what Jesus has done. His dwelling with his people has a purpose, and it's to save you. It's to be the bearer of your sin and suffer for you in your place. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. So here the Son came down from heaven to be your substitute and to die for you. And as he is risen from the dead, you have the victory over death. The Father looks at Christ and counts you as righteous before him. This is the Father's love begotten ever before the world began to be. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the source, the ending. All that he is, has, and will be is brought about by God. And so Jesus still is fully man, even after his death and the resurrection. He sits at the right hand of the Father praying for you, and he is bodily present for you here through his means. It's nothing short of miraculous to see God still dwelling with his people. It's a miracle. God is still with you in this life. Jesus doesn't stop being Emmanuel after he was a baby and after we've closed up and packed away all of our Christmas decorations. He still is Emmanuel, God with you. He is the Word become flesh and tabernacles among you. Your Lord dwells with you even now as he makes himself known to you and for you in his holy word and sacraments. Now in your life, the Lord still dwells. Jesus promised, "I will not leave you as orphans." God is with you as you have been reborn into his kingdom. Emmanuel is yours as you receive him in these means and as he keeps you steadfast in the faith. He dwells among you even now, and you have forgiveness, life, and salvation when you receive in faith these gifts. Jesus is for you in your baptism. He's present for you in his word and as you come before this altar. Heaven and earth meet in this very place as God's word is combined with earthly elements of bread and wine. And Jesus gives you his own body and blood, dwelling here through these means, delivering to you forgiveness, life, and salvation. So it's truly fascinating to ponder these things of God. And you see, they're not some mere academic exercises, but they rather are an encounter with the eternal God himself. Thanks be to God, he reveals himself to you, and you know him. Your Lord is Jesus Christ, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. He is the one who is for you and who for your salvation came down from heaven and did all things perfectly and obediently for you and made peace with God by the shedding of his blood. He suffered, he died and was buried for you and rose again on the third day for your justification. And now as he lives and reigns to all eternity, you have a beginning that will not end. You know you will live forever with your Lord and all of God's saints, and the Lord will shelter you with his presence and that eternal light and life of the world to come. So all that is unknown will be known on that day when all suffering, sin, death, and the devil's powers are gone forever. You will see the Lord face to face in his own flesh and blood, with your own flesh and blood, in that unveiled presence. Your body will be imperishable and incorruptible as you walk with the Lord holy and forever with your Lord who is fully God and fully man. You will be with him and all of God's saints. This is what the Lord has revealed to you, and what he promises is your future. Here is God, your Savior, who has called you his own, who's created and called you by the Holy Spirit through his word, and you know him, and he is yours. This event was promised, prophesied, and happened so many years ago, and is such an important part of who Christ is and your life in him. So thanks be to God that the Lord spoke this word, and he was born of the Virgin. Thanks be to God that he preaches and teaches this to you and gives you the faith to believe it. Thanks be to God for him who does all things well, even Jesus Christ, our Lord, true God and true man, your Lord and brother in the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary. Amen.